Hey, what's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Elite Wrestling Audio. It's your boy Val Cisco alongside me with Jay Rance. Jay, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm chilling. I'm relaxing, ready to talk some Rumble. You know, tonight's the go-home show. I'm good, man. How you doing? Hope everybody's doing good.
I am doing fantastic, man. It is the first out of the big four events to happen this year with the WWE, the Royal Rumble, the big event that sets up the road to WrestleMania. And we're going to be talking about the Royal Rumble all-inclusive, all by itself. The event, how it was formed, and basically what it means to us in general. I'm hyped because this is one of my favorite events each year. Bro, I know this is like one of your favorites, if not the favorite, when it comes to the WWE pay-per-view. So I just got to get your thoughts, man. How do you feel about the Royal Rumble?
It's always exciting times, you know, because the thing with the Rumble is it's just the unpredictability that it brings. Excuse me, I almost stumbled upon that word, you know, that it's just so unpredictable. Sometimes it's set in stones, like we know who's gonna win, but I feel like as the recent years, it's like, bro, you know, it's a toss up in the air, but it's just exciting times. It's the road to WrestleMania. It begins with the Rumble, make a break for some of these stars, you know, and it's just exciting, bro. It's just a thrill ride. I know. I'm all for it. How do you feel about the Rumble?
Man, this is an event that so far has had 34 matches in its inception. 35 coming this Saturday, the 29th, coming out of St. Louis at the Dome. So I'm very excited for that. But out of those 34 Rumbles, man, I have always loved this match because, like you said, the unpredictability of it. And yeah, you're right. Sometimes it is set in stone. We already know who may win, depending on who's getting that TV time, that push, that elusive push. But like you said as well, too, the last couple of years, I kind of feel like everything's kind of been topsy-turvy. We're not sure what's happening or what's going on. Or who's actually going to main event the WrestleMania, or hell, even start the WrestleMania. So let's get into it, man. I mean, the Royal Rumble is something that's been happening since 1988. The first Royal Rumble, which was created by the legendary Mr. Royal Rumble himself, Pat Patterson, baby. I do it my way.
Yo, I was about to say, if you don't say a my way reference, I am not with it. I'm just getting off the podcast. Because damn it, I did it my way.
We love Pat. Rest in peace, Pat. Well, a national freaking treasure. I swear to everything. But man, this is a guy who has had so many ideas in the world of professional wrestling. And of course, something as simple as a regular battle royal, which was a main staple for the WWE, especially with Andre the Giant as their main attraction. This was something a little bit different, kind of gives you the unpredictability of who's actually coming out and who's going to win as well, too. And I think in the later years, they attached, you know, the main title and then WrestleMania attached to it as well, too, trying to spice up the prize a little bit. But even from the beginning, 30 men coming in, one man leaving, and then these days, a woman as well, too. I mean, I gotta love it, man. I gotta love it. First winner, man. First winner out of all of this. Do you remember who the first winner was of the Royal Rumble?
All right, first winner of the Royal Rumble, because my history is very terrible. It's not Pat Patterson, obviously.
Oh, that'd be great.
Why do I want to say Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
Hell like yeah. Ho!
And I'm not even a fan of him. That's all I remember, that he won the first Rumble, bro.
You gotta love Hacksaw. He doesn't have a lot of memorable things in the wrestling industry besides carrying a 2x4 and screaming, oh.
Oh,
but
that's it. Oh.
The inaugural winner, though.
And sorry for cutting you off and almost scrapping with Jake Atlas. Wow.
Yes! That's a story we need.
Almost scrapping with your boy Tony Atlas in Legends House, man. That's what I remember it for. But yeah, sorry for that, brother.
No, definitely, man. Jake Atlas and Tony Atlas in the tag team match. I need it. Yeah. I need it in my life right now. But you know, this match has served its history very well, creating many different stars and a lot of what the fuck moments as well too. Right now, we're gonna be talking about our favorite moments of the Royal Rumble, maybe our favorite Royal Rumble event in general, the main event in general. Do you have one possibly that just sticks out at the top of your head?
Moment or Rumble matches? Like which one do you want to start? You want to start first?
I could throw one out there.
Go ahead.
One of my favorite moments, I wouldn't say it's my favorite Rumble, but one of my favorite moments definitely has to be the 1998 Royal Rumble. And we all knew that Stone Cold Steve Austin was a favorite to win on that one. I totally get that. But we gotta say, man, with the three faces of Foley coming out at that Royal Rumble was spectacular. Seeing people like Cactus Jack and Dude Love and different faces like Mankind character as well too. Little things like that just make the Royal Rumble pretty fun. Yeah, it's cheesy. Yeah, we know it's Mick Foley. But at the end of the day, just the three faces of Foley making an appearance, trying to get one up on the corporation at that time. I gotta love it.
Yeah, that was pretty epic, bro. That moment was fun. Because that's what it is. It's supposed to be fun, you know? And hey, if you got three different sides to you, you got three different chances. It's like making a new email for a free trial. You feel me? Actually, I was watching this match last night, and this is probably one of my favorite matches in the Royal Rumble history. I don't know if I sent you the message today or I wanted to, but I totally forgot. I'm going to one-up you, and I'm going to do 1999, the infamous I Quit match between The Rock and Mankind. Because that match, these dudes went to town on each other. And just the rivalry that they were carrying, you know, with the corporate champion and all that stuff, man, it was epic. Rock beat the shit out of Mankind. Mankind beat the shit out of Rock. These dudes went all over the arena. And we got the infamous I Quit, I Quit.
The dubbed audio. Little did we know, like what? Years later, WWE was using dub audio for their crowds.
Wow, it goes full circle. So yeah, that's one of my favorite matches, bro, in Royal Rumble history.
You know what? I'm gonna put a pin on that right there because I really feel some of the matches that come out of the Royal Rumble, especially when it comes to title matches, are more epic than the Mania matches. If I go down the laundry list right now, I remember Royal Rumble 2000. A very pivotal year for Triple H and Mick Foley as well, too. Yep. This is before the No Way Out Hell in a Cell match. This was the brutal match they had at the Royal Rumble between him as Cactus Jack taking on Triple H, which was a train wreck of a match, and not in a bad way, in all the greatest ways. I remember also a classic match, a very classic match, I believe in 2000, and I want to say 7. I'm going to say 7. No, 6. Excuse me. 2006. Because this was leading up to WrestleMania 22. This was a match between Kurt Angle and The Undertaker having a barn burner of a match. These guys went to town on each other. And then, of course, one of my favorite matches, Chris Benoit versus Kurt Angle, 2003. These guys also went to town. This showed why Chris Benoit was a main player, because he was just one step away from getting that main event spot.
That's true. You're absolutely correct. Sometimes these matches that they have around the Royal Rumble match kind of outshine what happens in WrestleMania. I think it's just like everybody ups their game for what's to come. It's like a precursor of what's to come. So like, let's just up our game. The Mick Foley and the Triple H, it was WrestleMania 2000. So I mean, why I keep saying WrestleMania? Royal Rumble, right? That they scrapped as well. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, some of these matches are very memorable. I have to agree with you.
And with the matches included, you know, it's just not the, like we said before, it's just not the match itself, the Royal Rumble match. Other matches, like even going back to Royal Rumble 2000, New York City, Madison Square Garden, we had the triple threat tables match between the Hardys, Edge and Christian, and Dudley Boyz as well, too, cementing again why that tag team division at that time was elite. And we're not saying that because that's our name or All Elite Wrestling. Definitely was, I want to say, a league of their own in that time. From 1998 all the way to maybe 2002, that tag team division was fucking hot.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would even go back a little bit further, you know, because I feel that, I'll probably just go back. I know we had some crazy tag teams back then, but like Raw is War when the Warzone, you know, when Warzone would hit and all that stuff, you would get those gang warfares with tag team. Like, that era, tag team division was running WWE. The single matches were excellent, but I think they were excellent as well because, you know, sometimes you would get so caught up with the wrestling and the tag team division that anything was just fucking phenomenal. So I would say that the tag team division, I have to agree with you, bro.
All right, let's get down to business right now. I want to hear from you. I want to just get a glimpse at what Jay's favorite Royal Rumble matches were. Doesn't matter what time in history, doesn't matter who won. What was your favorite, or at least a couple of your favorite Royal Rumbles?
Favorite of my Royal... Okay, so... You know how we're NXT fanboys here, so I would have to go with... That was 2018. It's a recent one. 2018 when Shinsuke Nakamura won the Royal Rumble for the first time that he appeared, eliminating Roman Reigns. You know, we had the come-ups of NXT when they were kind of testing the waters out, and Nakamura winning the Rumble in his first appearance was a huge freaking gamble in my eyes. I'm like, wow, they're all in on Nakamura, you know, with the prestige that this guy already has coming over from New Japan, the excellent work he's done in NXT. Eliminating Roman Reigns, which, you know, Roman Reigns has been the pet project of Vince McMahon for years now. So it was kind of like very like, what the F? And that was one of my favorite moments. What about you? How'd you feel about that moment, first of all?
Did that gamble pay off, though?
It didn't pay off because we see how we're treating Shinsuke. Like, if there was no shackles on Shinsuke, bro, I think this would have...
Agreed.
He would have been running the shit.
Agreed, because I thought that was an excellent Royal Rumble for a great showcase for Shinsuke Nakamura coming out there, being like a first, you know, being the first, I want to say, Japanese superstar to cross over and win that event right there. Showed a lot of trust. Showed that the WWE had a lot of trust in his charisma and his wrestling ability. Say what you say, how he's been booked in the last couple of years, but at that time, there was nothing hotter than Shinsuke Nakamura. I don't know, man. For me, I really enjoyed the Royal Rumble 2002. I definitely know that Triple H won that one. And I was kind of like, about that. But just so many appearances in that Rumble were just fun, fantastic, and weird. Hell, we got the infamous, I believe that's the infamous Maven Undertaker elimination as well, too.
Yeah.
Which was stupid, but they were all in on Maven, bro. From everything, bro. From his freaking sweatpants with the M on it, from everything.
Dude, everybody, yeah, they were in on Maven. I mean, hell, you even threw him with Torrey Wilson, bro. Like, y'all was all in.
Hardcore champion Maven.
Oh, man. That's the only title he captured, right?
I believe so. I could be wrong, but I believe so. That makes a lot of sense, too.
Yeah. You know, he actually came back, too. Like, he's wrestling in the indies, man. Like, I guess he's trying to make a resurgence of Maven.
Put him and David Arquette as his fanboy fiction tag team, and I'm all over it. Let's make that happen now. GCW Tag Team Champions. Let it happen.
Anything can happen to GCW right now, like you said in prior podcasts. That's like the multiverse of wrestling right now, man.
Well, you know what's one that really surprised me? And it was a recent one as well, too. It was last year's Royal Rumble coming out of St. Petersburg, Florida at the, I believe, the Tropicana Field Thunderdome status at that time. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't the men's Royal Rumble. It was definitely the female Royal Rumble because that was the emergence of Bianca Belair as a superstar. And I think that was the right decision. I mean, there was a lot of people that you could have went with at that time, but Bianca Belair coming out there, new, young, hungry, representing that NXT black and gold brand as well, too, and it showed like a different direction that the WWE was going. Now, say what you want to say about the prior year, of how she was booked. I mean, the WrestleMania win was great, but the SummerSlam squash was not that great as well, too, but you made a superstar of Bianca there.
Yeah, that's actually one of my favorite moments. I'm glad that you brought it up because I was like, if he doesn't bring it up, I'm going to bring it up. But I know you had to because you love Bianca as well. Just Bianca, the emergence of her, like we said, you know, some of these matches can make these stars. And that match made Bianca. I mean, she was already a star in NXT, but I feel like this just... that platform, like, hey, you're the next big thing, we're trusting you. And I still say that she is the next big thing and they're trusting her. They just, you know, don't want to put that just yet on her. We'll get her moment at WrestleMania. She'll beat Becky.
remember this right now. but and then just the two people, I remember being nervous because I'm like, damn, they about to bank on Rhea. Now you gotta bank on Bianca. And the back and forth, almost a little Shawn Michael-esque as well. Bianca, but was it Bianca that did it? Yeah, I think it was Bianca that did the little Shawn Michael almost, let's just, you know, scrape the feet close to the ground. That was a nice callback. That was a great moment for her, man, and as well for the fans.
You know, right decision as well, too. The more we see Rhea Ripley in the last two years, I wouldn't say she's down the totem pole, but...
Oh, she is.
You think so? I mean, yeah, I feel like there's still something there, dude, for Rhea, but I just don't know what's missing.
When you team her up with Nikki A.S.H., come on, bro. Like, I mean, she's split now, but now you got her with Beth. I mean, I'm not going to say no with Beth. What are they calling themselves? The Hell Maidens or something like that?
Oh, Lord. Good for them.
You haven't seen it, bro?
Good for them.
Dude, yeah. The Hell's Maiden. You got you got Beth with the Valhalla hairstyle from Assassin's Creed, bro. Yeah, like, I'm telling you. So, let's be honest. From what Rhea was to where she's at now, she's knocked a few pegs down the totem pole, bro. You can try to justify it, but I think the experiment with Rhea has kind of failed, man.
I could see that. I could definitely see that. Bianca just capitalizing on everything from WrestleMania going on to an excellent title defense as well, too, for a SmackDown Women's Championship. I mean, she's still relevant today. I definitely feel like, you know, WrestleMania season's about to happen again. I think there's something prominent in her future this year as well, too. Not too sure what it is, but I want to keep my eye on her, especially in this Rumble. One that I remember as well, too, that I actually went to, which was, I believe it was the one that Seth Rollins won. I believe that's the...
Oh, which one was that?
2019. That's the one that happened at Chase Field, Phoenix, Arizona. It was okay. That, you know, the event was kind of whack, man. That's the one.
Were you there at that event?
I was. That was the one where Finn Balor got squashed by Brock Lesnar in a couple of minutes. Oh, so yeah. I think that kind of took the air out of the whole stadium. But, you know, Seth Rollins at that time, peak babyface. I don't think he's ever going to get as big as he was at that moment in time. Definitely a great good feeling moment, because at that time, like I said, like, he, I don't know what it was. I think people were just respecting his ability rather than his mic skills. And I think, okay, cool. We have the indie darling. We have, like, Tyler Black, basically, in the Seth Rollins moniker, just doing all his greatest hits. And I think people were really gravitating to that. I don't know what changed. Seth Rollins, you know, died as a babyface, dying as a heel. You know, he's coming up in this year's Royal Rumble as one of the main events for the Universal Championship against Roman Reigns in a match I don't think anyone cares to watch. What's your thoughts on Seth Rollins, man?
Which he got flamed. If y'all haven't heard by now, I'm sure everybody heard it. Roman flamed him. If I wanted a mega superstar, I wrestled your wife.
I'm like, yeah. I don't know. You know, the things with Rollins, and you know what's crazy? Because I was the one that sat here and said to you and Jeremy specifically, because Jeremy loved Dean Ambrose. You love Dean Ambrose. Jeremy also loved Roman Reigns. I was always the Seth head. And I was like, bro, if they split up, the star is Seth freaking Rollins. Let's go. And it is the opposite. This dude is floundering. This dude. I think he doesn't even know who Seth Rollins is himself, bro. Like, I think all these characters that he's trying to portray, maybe they're ideas that he has in his head, but he's still trying to figure himself out. We know he is that indie dude, like you said. What was it, Seth Black? I forgot what the freaking indie name they had.
Ooh,
what
Seth is Black is even better. Tyler Black. I'll take Seth Black any day.
There you go, Seth. I just pitched you a character, bro. You got the black glove, Seth Black. I think he's trying to figure himself out as he's going in the WWE product, because he was super confident. He knew who he was in the indies and everything. But, like, in the WWE, remember, you have to wrestle a certain style. You have to be a certain character. And I think he's trying to figure it out. Am I wrong? Because I feel like we always have a new Seth. Now we got this polarizing star where I dress crazy and stuff like that. And I feel like he's throwing stuff at the wall and nothing is sticking, bro.
Yeah. I mean, I heard that the idea of all these elaborate outfits that he's doing right now comes from Becky Lynch. So look at it. The man is actually giving the ideas to Seth. But at the end of the day, I think you're right. The dude, you know, is indie darling. I think he wants, you know what it is too. I think you're right. But also I feel that he has the shackles of the WWE against him. I feel like we could probably get an asshole character, but an asshole character we might like. You know, in some ways, I feel like we would get CM Punk light if he got the shackles off of him, as far as a personality goes. But since, you know, it's very PG and he really can't cross the line that much, I feel like he just doesn't know what to say, doesn't know what line to cross, if there is a line to cross, and just kind of plays it safe and laughs at his own jokes. I think that's the worst kind of character right there, is when you're laughing at yourself because everyone else is laughing at you too.
I agree with you 1,000%. And then the fact that you got him up with Kevin Owens, it's like, bro, two dudes that are just like, I don't want to say floundering, but yeah, you know, you can say floundering. Yeah. I mean, they'll get the tag trap eventually. Like I said, those are the dudes that they're going to get it later on. They'll probably be Gable and Husky Man, whatever his name is.
Otis.
But Otis, there you go. He's in a sad place, man, and it sucks. But I do have to agree with you. Maybe it's the WWE shackles, because he probably did want to do this whole black love, this, you know, prophet of a guy that he was, probably up to a 10, but he couldn't. So the shackles are definitely there, but it's just crazy that he reminds me of freaking Rich Swann and Sue Young, bro. Like, your wife got all the talent. Like, you're Rich Swann.
You're the Rich Swann at that relationship.
Exactly, bro.
Oh,
that's great, man.
Swinging back to the Rumble for a second, I want to throw this to you. Was there a surprising win that you remember out of all these Rumbles that you were like, wow, that came out of nowhere, I didn't expect that whatsoever?
Surprising win. I'm trying to run down the annals of history real quick. Probably I think I'm just trying to go down real quick. I think did Drew McIntyre win the Rumble that he eliminated Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, he did.
That was a little what the F moment for me, because, I mean, it's the beast incarnate. Brock is always, you know, when you see these big men in these Rumbles, you're like, okay, they got the win, you know, because they're the ones that are always getting ganged up on. And for Drew eliminating Brock, that was the F moment for me. Like, honestly, how'd you feel about that moment?
You know, in some ways, I felt like we wanted, as we were projecting in our own heads, in our own minds, that we wanted Drew to win. Mm-hmm. I feel like the WWE was going down that direction no matter what, but the inclusion of Brock Lesnar in that Rumble, kind of like how they're doing this year with Charlotte entering the Rumble as well too, as a champion, kind of just throws things off the hinges a tad bit. So I like that. I like when you throw a curveball at me, not knowing what's going to happen. And of course, that just set up that match at WrestleMania as well too, the WrestleMania that doesn't exist, that does exist.
Oh, unfortunately for Drew,
a man doesn't have a good track record of WrestleManias, bro.
I feel bad for Drew, but that was one of my what the F moments that I can remember really quick off the bat. What about you, like, in either female or male's Rumble, what was like your
I got two. Okay. one good, I mean, hindsight later on possibly not, and then one bad. So what the fuck moment was the first ever 40-man Royal Rumble, Battle Royal, whatever you want to call it at that point. And this one came out of nowhere because there was a pet project, but with these 40 contestants, especially at that time frame, I mean, we're looking at 2000, and I believe this was 2011. So 2011, you still had a lot of people running on all cylinders, you know, Sheamus, Taker, Miz, Kane, you know, McIntyre was still a prospect at that time, Cena, a lot of people were just really running, you know, straight for that title, straight for that spot. But one person kind of just came out of nowhere, and I enjoyed the fact at that time because it was different, and that was Alberto Del Rio.
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot about that. That was
right,
yeah,
right,
that was left field, bro.
And I was excited because I was like, okay, here's their next pet project for a Latino crossover superstar. He has a history with Triple A and Mexican wrestling, and his uncle and his father being legends of the sport as well too. His brother being a legend of the sport as well too. I mean, all the potential in the world, and they did push him to the moon as well too. You know, hindsight 2020, we're looking at what's happening now in the day and age of Alberto Del Rio. No one wants to touch him. But at that time, I thought it was pretty impressive for the WWE to kind of get out their comfort zone and try to establish a new star in a big match like that. So that was cool. And then one that really just triggered a lot of people, and I understand why. I mean, this is the infamous Royal Rumble that made Mick Foley throw a brick at his TV. And this was... Coming out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, this was Batista winning the Royal Rumble for a second time. This is one where everyone was waiting for Daniel Bryan to win the match, and he just gets eliminated so nonchalant. Hell, there was even a point where Bray Wyatt got eliminated as a what the fuck moment. Undertaker got eliminated as a what the fuck moment. And even Brock Lesnar got eliminated as a what the fuck moment, just to have Batista come out there and just unceremoniously celebrate to a bunch of boos. To a bunch of boos, bro. Batista all day.
Batista. And that was the burial of Batista, honestly. Mm-hmm. Not only him winning, they just put him in a bad predicament that the fans didn't want to see him, but that Royal Rumble was terrible. I remember that Rumble, man. Like, that Rumble match was just bad. And then you got Batista winning. I mean, I'm not going to lie. The empath in me, I genuinely felt bad for the dude. But he shouldn't have won that Rumble, bro. That was the time that Daniel was getting screwed. And they just didn't want to give people Daniel.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
History time real quickly. You're going to laugh at this one.
Yeah.
It wasn't the debut. It could have been the second appearance of Batista coming back. It could have been a debut as well, too, but I don't remember. But one of those, either the first or the second, he was wearing the tightest motherfucking jeans. And he went to go for, I think, a spine buster or a power bomb, and the dude broke out of his fucking skinny jeans, like quads. The inner quads just busted.
Just quads all over, bro. Quads all
just over. Just rip quads all over the place, Batista. My man can't catch a break.
Bro, he can't. That return, bro, his return, his run, everything, bro, it was just shambolic, bro. We got the ripping of the quads, because I remember that. And then he had, like, some tight-ass jeggings with, like, tennis shoes on, I think, if I'm not mistaken, bro.
Yes.
Yeah. Then we got the infamous Blue Tista.
Listen, say what you will, Blue Tista was on another level, because that was, I don't give a fuck about anyone anymore.
That's what it was. At that point, he was trolling and just did not give a F about nothing. And he was just like, you know what? I'm going to troll and have some fun. And I am watching Royal Rumble right now. Does Charlotte have a nip slip here, bro? Like,
I think so.
Yeah, like, you know which one I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Like, bro, but it's actually cool, though, because I didn't see that moment. But this is a perfect segue for me to kind of tell you another moment that I did, like, in Mania. This is kind of crazy. I'm about to tell Jeremy about the nip slip. But one of my favorite moments as well in WrestleMania is actually – why I keep saying WrestleMania?
It's so close. Rumble. That's why.
That's what it is. Royal Rumble is this Royal Rumble 2016 where Triple H won. But how did you feel? Because I got excited for the first time where we had the champion in the Rumble match defending his title against 29 other participants. I was like, okay, this is a curveball. This got me excited. I think this happened because, like we said, Royal Rumble has started feeling dull. I mean, and of course, they were trying to stack the odds against Roman Reigns, you know, Vince, Stephanie, and everybody, because they had that little squabble and stuff going on. But how did you feel about that inclusion of the title being defended in the Rumble? I thought it was pretty cool.
You know what? It mirrored almost what my favorite Royal Rumble is, and I'll tell you that after this. But basically, you know, chasing for the title, I always like that opportunity where, you know, it is a curveball. Now anyone can really win that title if they really wanted to, and you can really shock some people. The only thing that I think was a set stone conclusion of that match is knowing that Triple H was coming out last.
Yeah.
And I mean, rock and roll for Triple H, because this was his Ric Flair moment right now to kind of win the title at the Rumble. And I liked it. I love the idea of that. I love the curveballs that we got, because Roman was thrown out before even making the top three. And you had Dean Ambrose and Triple H as the end, which really catapulted Dean Ambrose to superstardom. This was like the match where you saw, like, okay, Dean Ambrose can be a main eventer. Mox could be a main eventer right now. Because we even got that weird but fun match with him and Triple H at Roadblock before WrestleMania as well, too.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff right on Ambrose at that time. He had an awesome year as well, too, as a champion. We could get into that later. But yeah, I thought that was an interesting Rumble. A lot of great participants, and just the idea of the championship as a main prize is always great right there. A single focus right there, especially for the championship. Yeah, I like that right there. I will say this. Like I said, mirroring that, we going back to the 1992 Royal Rumble where Ric Flair enters at number three and fights his way against all these superstars to become the WWF World Heavyweight Champion at that time, cementing his legacy, not just in the NWA or WCW, but just in the history of professional wrestling as a world champion. You know, with that awesome promo he had, you know, with a tear in his eye, this was the greatest moment of his life. And I can definitely believe it, because at the end of the day, he set out more than any other superstar has done, more than Hulk Hogan did. Say what you want to say about Hulk Hogan and all his appearances and title wins as he's had and whatnot. The actual legitimate champion in professional wrestling, from the NWA to WCW to Georgia, you know, Georgia Championship Wrestling to Florida Championship Wrestling to the WWF to WWE, you know, TNA, Ric Flair, bro. Ric Flair.
Yeah, low-key, Ric Flair is wrestling, bro. If you look at it, like, he's done everything. All these accolades, accomplished everything outside of the product. Then coming in here, winning in the product, like, it was like a cementing of Ric Flair, like you said, of the godfather of wrestling. That's how I felt about that 1992 Royal Rumble. Excuse me.
And look at the participants there. Andre the Giant, you know, Hall of Famers. Andre, Dusty, Junkyard Dog, Ultimate Warrior. Shawn Michaels was in there as well, too, as a single star at that time, starting off. You know, so many epic Hall of Famers in that match. And if you're looking at, like, the classic days of professional wrestling, having, like, the 80s going into the 90s as well, too, kind of crossing over, just that heyday of old but new, Ric Flair was at the center point right there and was your champion. Now, did he stay with the WWF at that time that long? Not necessarily. Did they treat him as a star he needed to be? Not necessarily as well, too. But at that moment, Ric Flair was the greatest wrestler of all time.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's why he won. Like, I think that was like the, all right, now we got this pinnacle character, this icon of a wrestler. Let's just do this. Because if you think about it, like you said, bro, like, I remember it was him and Sid, and, you know, they were big on Sid. Sid was big back then. Sid Justice and stuff. And you eliminate Sid Justice. And you're right. Just thinking about the participants, bro. Duggan, Roberts, Piper, Boss Man, infamous stars that anybody could have won this Rumble, but they went with Ric Flair. That's a great Rumble, man. I'm glad you chose it. Yeah.
This is kind of coming full circle right here, because, like you said, Mania sometimes gets outshined by the Rumble. I remember that WrestleMania as well, too, because that's the Mania where Ric Flair was supposed to take on Hulk Hogan for the WWF Championship, but they decided to maybe halt that and maybe kind of just put that in the back burner for later on. Which makes no fucking sense. You capitalize right there while the iron's hot. But no, they decided to do a Macho Man angle. And it wasn't even the main event. The main event was a fucking singles match between Sid Justice and Hulk Hogan. Why? I don't know.
Yeah, I for the life of me, I don't know. Because, like you said, you should have struck while the iron's hot. You got these two polarizing characters, Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan. Like, why did you not strike while the iron is hot? And the fact that he got the co-main, let's just say, you know, that was a little bit of slap in the face. And it made no sense, honestly, like you said. I don't even remember that. I'll be honest. I love wrestling, but I don't remember that main event, freaking Hogan and Sid Justice. Do I care for it? No, I don't.
Like, No one does. Sid has been in the main event twice, I believe, and both times no one cares about it. He main evented at WrestleMania 13 against Taker, which was an unmemorable match altogether. It was like weird. It was weird booking that match. It was like Bret Hart coming out all pissed off, chair shotting people, then leaving, and Michaels is on commentary. I'm like, what are we doing here? What's happening?
Super rare, bro, and it's terrible that everybody remembers Sid just for snapping his leg, bro. Like, that's fucking terrible.
Bro, ask any wrestling fan, what you remember Sid Vicious for? Bro, the rope when he snapped his leg, and when he was like trying to mess up the promo, we're live, pal. That's it, bro. That's all Sid got, man.
Let me throw this one at you. This might be a little bit tougher, but I want to throw it at you. I could go first if you want to. What was your favorite Royal Rumble surprise?
Oh, my favorite Royal Rumble surprise, like surprise entrance?
Yeah.
It's a recent one. It's a recent one, but you know which one I'm probably going to go. There was always rumors and murmurs swirling around that your boy AJ Styles was going to show up. There was rumors and stuff like that. We all done heard it on internet and Twitter, but to see AJ Styles, I love AJ Styles. And I was genuinely surprised because like when he came out, at first I didn't recognize the music and I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, who's this? Man. And then when you saw the Tron come up and you see him come out, I'm like, it's AJ Styles. I lost my shit. It was such a feel-good moment to see him because we haven't seen him in such a long time, you know, after the Impact, all the work he did in New Japan, and to finally come over here where everybody wanted him because at that point, AJ Styles, and he still is one of the best wrestlers in the world. So that for me, that for me was epic, that moment. I don't know.
Oh, no. I loved that moment so much. You know, there was a lot of pitter patter around the internet, spears out there about where is AJ gonna go? Is he actually leaving New Japan? You know, former two-time IWGP Heavyweight Champion, had the world at his fingertips, straight up, really just could have done anything he wanted to do, but he banked on himself. And this was a time where people were just going to NXT directly.
Yeah.
If you had a name like Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura, even if you had a name, you were going to start NXT and just work your way up. Not AJ. AJ kind of bypassed everything and just came in at number 3 and stood there for a long time, I believe a half an hour, just in the Rumble, mixing with a whole bunch of people. I mean, god damn, that was such a good time right there. I love that one. That great pick right there, brother.
Yeah, that was a phenomenal pick. What about you, brother?
I'll put this as a favorite because it was a what the fuck moment and I was generally happy for the dude as well too. And I still think it was a better moment than what we had last year. And yeah, you know, last year we had Edge winning the thing at number 1, but I felt like that was so shoehorned in. Like, we knew it was going to happen. It was a foregone conclusion. Whatever. But, bro, when we saw Edge come out at that 2020 Royal Rumble as that surprise entrant, blowing the roof out of that arena, the atmosphere was just as big. I gotta say, it was probably just as big as the Chicago Welcome Back CM Punk chat. I want to say that because the emotion was so high in that event. And just seeing him after all those years, almost a decade out of the wrestling business, it gave you Shawn Michaels vibes when he came back. And Shawn Michaels is only gone for less than 5 years, you know? Like he was still going back and forth in wrestling, you know, doing little things. This was someone who was legitimately injured, took almost a decade off, really could have just called it a day and just said, you know what, I'm going to chop wood for the rest of my life. But no, the dude got in great shape. Grew a massive beard and had one of the best ovations. You saw it on his face as well, too. Just emotion and excitement and shock that people... I just have a hard time when you hear these documentaries and wrestlers say, man, you know, I've been a god for a while. I just hope the fans remember me. Like, that's hard to hear a wrestler ever say that because in our heads, y'all never left.
Yep. Agreed.
Oof. That was a great one. Go for it.
No, that is like probably my second one, bro. I agree with you 1,000%. That when he came out, I lost it. I believe we texted each other. We were like, "Holy shit, it's Edge!" Like, we lost it, bro. Just, it was such a feel good moment for the fan. It was such a feel good moment for him. You saw the emotion, the joy. Like you said, this dude could have walked away after a decade of wrestling. You know, just lived his life, chill. But no, he came back and grinded and did everything. And just for that moment, bro. Yeah, that one and AJ are tied, bro. I can't pick one, man, because that was so epic. I remember the moment right now and the rush that I'm having. But I did want to accent what you said. Like, that is true, man, because one wrestler that kind of came to mind real quick when you were saying that's heartbreaking
for somebody to sit here and say that, like, will they remember me? The first one that comes to mind is Triple H. Triple H didn't think he was going to get a pop when he came back, remember? After the injury and the surgery, and he came back and he got that pop in New York, right? That's where it was, I think, in the Garden?
In the Garden. I remember, like, Triple H was never really a babyface. Like, maybe the DX days, like, with his version of DX, he had a couple of babyface moments, but at the end of the day, he's always been a heel thick and through. So for him to get that massive ovation in Madison Square Garden right there, huge.
Yeah, man, that was freaking epic. But sorry for that little sidebar. How do you feel? I want to ask you this question. How do you feel about, like, when you take this prestigious event, because I know this is your favorite event overall, how did you feel when you take this prestigious event and then you just kind of mar it a little bit and you come out with the world's greatest Royal Rumble for freaking Saudi Arabia? Like, how did you feel about that, bro?
You know, both times it's failed. And it's memeable on all times too, and it just hurts just a little bit, because at the end of the day, you know that this is not really for the anything. Fan experience. This is blood money right here. I'll say it right now, it's blood money at the end of the day. And cool, the WWE makes a couple more $1 million by doing this, but why do this? Why taint the name Royal Rumble with the greatest Royal Rumble? Who cares? Well, Braun Strowman won. You got rid of them 2 years later. You know, we're never gonna see that little title, that green freaking palm tree title that he won. He probably has that shit in the shitter right now. Okay, like that's like a fucking what do you call it? Potpourri. This is fucking potpourri. Oh,
he got in a little jar with potpourri.
And then the second time, yeah, my man Mansoor went in against all these fucking superstars. All these superstars, heavyweight champions, Hall of Famers, yada, yada, yada. The winner, Mansoor. Get out of here.
Bro. I'm so done, Mansoor. Get out of here. Bro, like, yeah, no, that was a little slap in the face, man, because it's like, this is a prestigious, like, event, you know? And like you said, this is just blood money. They say what we want. If these people had it, this is a quick rant, they'd be like, yo, give me Yokozuna versus Macho Man if possible, you know? So it was a little bit of slap in the face for everybody, you know? Even Pat Patterson, I felt, bro. It's crazy. You know how we are. But it was weird, and it was weird to get into because it wasn't for nothing. Like you said, it's memeable. We got freaking your man Titus O'Neil sliding into home base.
Bro, like all that stuff, man. Like, it was just a joke upon jokes upon jokes, and something that we don't need. Like, the Super Showdown that they did in Australia, I like that. That was fun. It was fun, you know, but it wasn't like all, you know, totally based on, you know, what the Saudi Arabian king or whatever he is wanted to dictate how the match went. No, it was just a regular show, a big event. I loved it, you know, the one in Australia. Hell, that's the one where Buddy Murphy won the Cruiserweight Championship in his home country. That was epic. Let him go, but that was epic. Let's circle back to the current one is going to be happening this Saturday, January 29th, at the Dome in St. Louis, St. Louis. And let's just talk about a couple of things. You don't have to go beat by beat, but, you know, a couple of matches we have. Roman Reigns can have Seth Rollins. He literally changed his name to Seth freaking Rollins. That's his whole name now. Good for you, Seth. Edge and Beth Phoenix taking on Miz and Maryse. Becky Lynch and Doudrop for that title. Brock Lesnar taking on Bobby Lashley, which is probably the most hyped fight that we're going to be looking at. And I guarantee you that's going to be a 5-minute fight. The women's and men's Royal Rumble match. Does anything right there seem interesting to you?
Does anything seem interesting to me? I won't lie, the Doudrop. Oh, look, AJ just came out right now. Look at that. Doudrop and Becky seems kind of interesting. I do want to see that because, especially, you know, hearing Doudrop say that she's been wanting to wrestle Becky since the indies and stuff. So I want to see her now. You get your chance, Doudrop. Let's see you do your thing, you know? So I want to see that match. Rollins and Roman really doesn't intrigue me. I think they're just doing that just for, because the fans have been clamoring for it. I feel like this is, let's just quickly get a main event. Remember, like, AJ and Finn Balor when they just scrambled that up real quick.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is it. Brock and Bobby, I'm down for that. Yeah, I'm down for that, bro. That's, we've always wanted that shit, so we're getting it. That's about it, bro. Straight up, like, what was that movie? Daddy's Home. Smells Like a Bullfight.
Yes, that's exactly what it's gonna be. Yeah. It's gonna be interesting because we're gonna see who carries that match as well too.
Dude, I think Bobby's gonna carry it, man. I think Bobby's gonna carry it. I still don't think, as excellent as Brock is in ring and what he's doing right now, I don't think he could lead a match, bro. Honestly, I think Bobby's gonna lead it. Yeah,
be like German suplexes everywhere.
That's all it is. Yeah, that's all he does, bro. I'll lead a German suplex. Bobby's gonna lead that match, but I'm really looking forward to that. What are you looking forward to?
Bobby and Brock for sure. Really don't care about Seth and Roman. I mean, we've seen that match so many times. Really doesn't make sense. I am interested in Becky and Doudrop. I just, what stains it for me is why just can't you just call her Piper Niven? Or just call her Niven or some shit like that. Like, or Piper or something of those lines. Like, you really are disrespecting this awesome character, this awesome female wrestler that is a powerhouse, something unique. You haven't had a wrestler like this and done right probably since Nia Jax, but Nia Jax is playing around too much. And before that, you had people like Karma, you know, Awesome Kong, but she really didn't amount to anything to WWE either. So when you have like a powerhouse like this that looks different, that's very approachable to different girls out there to be relatable. Like, hey, I look like that girl. I could be a wrestler too. You call her fucking Doudrop? You call her fucking Doudrop? For what fucking reason are you doing this? No reason whatsoever. This is her time. Go for it. For a laugh, right?
For a laugh. That's all it is. She's fat. Let's call her Doudrop. You're shaped like a tear. You're shaped like a water drop. That's all it is, bro.
Imagine if it's a Becky for Red Hair Blair or something like that.
Redhead Blair.
Yes.
But that's all it is. I agree with you 1,000%. Also, Piper could have said no. Like, you could have pitched something better. Like, right. You know? She could have said no. But it is a disrespect, though. But I'm looking forward to that match, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a great match. I think, you know, she's really good at, Piper Niven's really going to take this and really run with it. Hopefully, she has something going into Mania as well, too. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. And then the two Rumble matches. Let's just get into that real quickly. Mm-hmm. A lot of rumors. Just the Forbidden Door is open. That's been the talk of the town for the last couple of months. The Forbidden Door this and the Forbidden Door that. Of course, the one entrant that we know for sure that's coming out of the Forbidden Door is Mickie James entering the Females Royal Rumble. Are you excited with the illusion, with the invisible veil of this Forbidden Door, that anybody can come from any corporation, federation, wrestling company, enter this?
No, because this is straight no. Because look at the company that's doing it. It's WWE, you know? Like, it's WWE. WWE is the company that sits here and lies to the fans multiple times saying, you're going to get this wrestler. Wrestler never shows up on the card. Hell, I'm still waiting for Brian Kendricks to show up almost a month later. You know? Where you at, Brian Kendricks?
Advertising Sasha Banks all night to say, she is not here.
She is not here. Exactly. We were at SummerSlam waiting for that match. Nope, Sasha's not here. This is what we're going to do. So this is the company. If it was any other company, I'd have been like, yeah, I'm hyped for it. But it goes to what you said. They're just saying this to carry eyeballs, to bring in eyeballs. For the men, all we're going to see is just a bunch of, like, old legends. We're going to see just stupidity and nonsense like the Rumble that Batista won, bro. I'm calling it. Like, I am not thrilled at this at all, because I know we're not going to get anything crazy. We're not going to get, if we get somebody crazy, which, you know, you've been saying it could be a Jay White, but I'm not with this illusion.
No one's going to know who he is. I love Jay White.
Of course not.
He's not the level of AJ Styles where people know him.
Of course not. But this is, they've been clamoring for Jay White, because I always said it. You say Omega has lost his flair. Omega is nothing right now. They feel Omega's not a threat. But they've been chomping at the bits for Jay White to counter Kenny Omega. I'm sorry. True. They've been chomping at the bits. But you're absolutely correct. Jay White pops up. Who the fuck is this? People are going to, he's not going to get no pop, bro. It's going to be silent. So Are you excited for this illusion? Because we already know the women participants. Like, how do you feel?
Even if you run down Jay White's fucking credentials right now, like he had a mediocre fucking heavyweight championship run in New Japan. He was a mediocre leader of the Bullet Club. Like, everything is mediocre with Jay White. I'm sorry.
You leave that man alone. You leave Jay White alone. Because Jay White has been doing phenomenal work in New Japan with the crappy hand they've got. Listen,
I would be hyped if they brought Great Muda and his old ass back.
No.
Spitting COVID at people. Oh, like.
I'm so dumb. You want some Noah?
But you know what? Give me all these Noah people for no damn reason.
I'm done, bro. You know what's crazy, though? WWE, like, nobody wants to mess with them. I don't know if you heard, but your man, I mean, of course, that's loyalty. He would never do that. We know he would never do that. But your man, Naito, even took a pay cut to stay in New Japan, bro. With an opportunity like this, because we know back then, WWE was chomping at the bits to get Naito as well. But, I mean, he wouldn't turn his back on New Japan. But I'm just saying, you know.
Not for this.
Not for this. But this is, hypothetically speaking, forbidden door material. But your man Naito didn't even want to come over here, bro. So it's not gonna happen.
Even the people that you were banking on that you released, besides one, Mickey James, which is still a fucking question mark on why she would do this. But yeah, people that were released that the WWE was banking on to say come back just for this one match, Inspiration being one. Fuck you. We're not doing that. Y'all let us go. Why the fuck would we want to go back?
They did the right thing. You hear me? They did the right thing. They don't whore themselves out for money, bro. Because Mickey James, we said this in the last podcast. For the life of me, I don't know why she would do this, bro. You wouldn't see an Inspiration. I'm glad, bro. Inspiration stood up to themselves. You wouldn't see a Buddy Murphy. You wouldn't see a Jonah. How fucked up would it be if all these people appear?
Bro, that's the person I'm banking on to be in the Rumble for no goddamn reason. You're right. We messed up on you, Jonah.
Bronson Reed, come here, you little crybaby. Come on, we'll redeem you.
You're number one.
Yeah. You're gonna win it all, the monster. You're Earthquake 2.0. Like, bro, I'm telling you, like, bro, he's one little sailor hat for being Tugboat, bro. Honestly. Like,
that's what he would have been. He would have been Thomas the Tugboat Engine.
Jonah the Tugboat Engine.
Jonah the Whale. Free Jonah!
Blow spits of water around him and everything. Oh, bro, I'm so
fuck that
done.
Guy. Fuck that guy. Seriously, got voted for Jonah. If I'm looking at legitimate people that I think could enter this as a forbidden door, I'm looking at, like, your mainstays. Like, I'm looking at maybe. And this is not confirmed whatsoever at all, but who I think that they would gravitate to just to have eye. Like, for the men's, I really think that they would fucking call Bully Ray. For all the shenanigans that he's been doing, it probably makes Vince laugh. Like, ha ha ha, you're making fun of drunk people. Ha ha ha, come here. You know, him, fucking X-Pac, because he's been trying to get back into the ring as well, too. I think that he would make a run in there. Just recent people. I think Kane and his lazy ass. My man just wants to be a mayor, bro. That's all he wants to do.
Yeah, Mayor Kane will appear there, bro. Like, he'll do a few chops, probably one or two choke slam. It's sad, bro. Kane has fallen to the realm of Gregory Helms, bro. Like,
that's another one that would go in.
Oh, hell yeah. You know Gregory Helms would be there, bro. The mainstays are like Gregory Helms, Molly Holly, Tori Wilson. These are the people that they're guaranteed to pop up here. Like, I mean, I don't mind the fan nostalgia. Melina's in this, right? Like,
yeah, Melina's in this. NWA's Melina. She's in this. Do you think? I'm going to set your heart ablaze right now.
Oh, here's yes. Young Commodore, do it.
You hear? You know, all the women are just there, and we're about to hit the number 30 slot, and the music hits, you hear the row. You get fucking 65, 70, 80-year-old Sable coming out doing Sable bumps.
Do not play with me, because I would love to see a 65-year-old Sable do the grind. I want to see a 65-year-old Sable do the grind.
Brock's probably pitching that. Come on, baby.
Come on. One grind, baby. One grind. Bro, I wouldn't be surprised. You could see something like that, bro. You could see something like that. No, I'm gonna hit you with one even crazier, bro. You hear fucking, what? I don't even know how old she is. You get a sloppy ass Sonny running down the ring, bro.
Bro, she got arrested for like possible terrorist attack.
She recently.
I don't know what she did, but she had like explosives and like gun and ammunition. I don't know what she was trying to do, but like, this bitch went crazy. Sorry, bitch is a derogatory word, but this bitch went crazy.
Bro, Sonny was wrong. Like, I didn't even know that, bro. Like,
everything's wrong with Sonny right now, bro.
You see, WWE, bro. WWE messes up these women. You go from Pono to terrorism. Like, bro.
Vince loves it. Like, ha, 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 terrorist attack. That's my new character right now.
The new Muhammad Hassan.
Sonny with a chance of bombs.
Show me your bombs. I'm so dumb with you. But no, yeah. Like, there are some mainstay characters. I know you said a Chris Jericho, but can we really see a Chris Jericho when we're talking off the podcast?
Yeah, I really can, because he doesn't give a fuck. I think as much as he's very much like rah, 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 AEW, rah, 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 he's a guy that knows how to deal with things financially. Like, if he knows that he'll get a great payday if he were to make one day in the WWE and have a lot of buzz go to AEW, he would do it. Because that's exactly what it would be. He would get a great payout for being there. He wouldn't care about being eliminated because it's not his company. He'll go back to AEW as a fucking hero because all the fucking fans are going to be like clamoring to Wednesdays to see what Jericho says about the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely feel like he's a person that beat.
So, Mickey James, do we show up with the title? Or do we should not show up with the title? And does her getting eliminated? I'm going with Mickie James is going to win the Rumble. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, yeah. No, it sounds crazy. It sounds crazy. But I think that's a stipulation, bro. I think Scott D'Amore said, you can have Mickie James. Mickie James, you want to go do it? If she shows up with the title, there's no way in hell that she can get eliminated, bro, because that's going to be so detrimental for Impact. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You know who we're dealing with, sir. You know, we're just
Scott D'Amore the whore.
Yes. Like, of course you show up. Bro, of course Vince is going to be like, show up with that title. Bro, it won't be the first elimination, but she'll be like in there for less than 15 minutes and get her ass thrown out by like, I don't know, somebody not even relevant. Fucking Alicia Fox.
All right. You see, now I want to see this Women's Rumble. I want to see this Women's Rumble, because if she goes in there and gets eliminated by somebody irrelevant, somebody fast, your boy personally going to tweet Scott D'Amore and Impact Wrestling.
Kelly. Yeah. Oh, God. Eliminate her.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Kelly's still fine, though, bro. Like,
Jillian Hall. Her mole is going to fucking eliminate her.
Jillian Hall was the one that used to sing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm done, bro. I'm done. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting rumble, because we don't know for the women who's going to win, man. Honestly.
Okay, wait, all right. So, all right. Here's the thing. If I had to look at this realistically, if you really want to book Mickie James right and still eliminate her, I say the best option you could do is her eliminating Charlotte. And then you could set up something later on, maybe at Mania, between Charlotte and Mickie James. Which, that would be cool. That would be fine, but you would definitely have to sign Mickie James out of Impact or wherever the fuck she's in right now and put her back on the main roster because, yeah, that's just the proper thing to do at that point in time. Yeah.
I think that'll keep her relevant, but I think they'll keep her traveling, bro. I think they won't sign her to a contract, and she'll keep bouncing back and forth, man. I'm telling you, she's going to be getting money from both sides. Like,
but the winner, I think Bianca Belair is going to win again. Double-double.
I hope she does, man, because I have a feeling that she's going to bank at Mania and finally beat Becky. You know, they're letting us suffer. Yeah. So, but yeah, give me your two winners right now, women and males. So you got Bianca, right, for the women?
I got Bianca for the women. For the males, fuck.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
You're right, because no one's fucking hot. And no one cares to be hot right now and it's so fucking inconsequential because I think the big money match that everybody wants to see, kind of in a way, is Brock versus Roman for both title versus title, and fucking put those shits together. But if we were to like just like kind of do a three-way game finish, I don't know, man. Like, I would have said Big E, but like, they cooled this dude's engine so much.
Big E's done for.
Yeah. He was on SmackDown taking with Kofi for no reason.
Yeah, he's done for, bro. That Big E experiment is over with. That pet project, they buried him. He's done. So but I agree with you. There's nobody right now, you know, like
Clem. Drew's supposed to be coming back before the Rumble, right? No, before Mania.
No, before Mania. Yeah, he's supposed to get back before Mania, so it's not true.
AJ?
That's a safe win.
But
why exactly? I can't even say Finn because Finn already had the turnbuckle mishap with Roman.
No, that's it. Finn's dead too. He's dead in the water.
Yeah. Yeah, Finn is another one. But you're right, there's nobody sticking out. It's sad when you have a company that has two shows and you only have two stars, bro. Honestly.
I got you.
Who?
I got you. And they would. Of course they would. Because they're WWE. Why wouldn't they? The match that we've been wanting, that they've been wanting to book for the past 2 years, that's so elusive that they haven't done it yet. Roman Reigns versus Goldberg here.
Oh my god. Don't put that.
Bro,
no.
I guarantee you that was sellout mania.
No.
Dumb fans would be like, Goldberg is 60 years old man, gonna spear Roman Reigns, bro.
Don't put that evil out there, bro. Don't. But, you know
what? And wins. And wins. And beats Roman.
Yeah, see, son? Don't give up.
Bro.
I can see it happening because this is a WWE kind of way of operating. So I can see it happening. And, you know, when they're fumbling to get pieces together or they have no star, what do? They hit the little black book. Vince calls Old Reliable. He calls Goldberg. He calls freaking
Taker.
Taker's supposed to be at the Rumble. You know, like I hear he's supposed to be backstage. So I don't know, man. It's going to be weird. Like, but I got Bianca winning, but I'm still going with Mickey, bro. Mickey winning. And for the men, I don't know. So I'm going to have to just say a wild card. I don't know, man. Like, black, a dark horse. I don't know, man. Like, damn, somebody real quick.
Triple H. He comes back from his heart attacks. 10 heart attacks that he had because of NXT and wins it.
You messed me up with the freaking Goldberg. I'm sorry, bro. Yeah, you made me lose all train of thought with the Goldberg because I can see it happening. For the men, bro, there's nobody hot right now. That's the thing. Like, a safe bet, I would probably... I can't give you a winner. That's how crazy it is. I can't give you a winner. Honestly.
Everybody's so buried or under the card, under the microscope, that they don't even need to be up there right now. What? What are you going to do? Surprise people with Austin Theory? What are you gonna do? Surprise people, Cesaro? What the fuck are you gonna do? Riddle?
Yeah.
What the fuck
Riddle?
Are you gonna do?
I don't know, man. Do you? Yeah.
Omos?
I'm at a loss. Don't play, bro. These are picks that can actually win.
Veer.
Grayson Waller.
Yeah, there you go. This is a shit. Vince himself would win this because no one's over.
Bro, Vince would dead come out, bro, with this do-rag and win, bro. Yeah. If it's do-rag Vince, I'm with it.
Bro, if Vince eliminates one person and tears both quads with the do-rag on, that's a perfect Royal Rumble for me right there.
I'm so done. All right, I'm going to pick a winner. Depending on what happens in the main event with Roman and Seth is going to win the Rumble, bro. Like, depending what happens. Yeah, I think it's Seth.
But why? Like, why? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but why? My mind's eye, Muchacho would do this if it was me in the sandbox. If the Usos were in it, I would finally let Jay win and have Roman and Jay freaking go at it at WrestleMania because you have that story, but that's not going to happen. That's just me.
Let's just throw this one out here. We can make this a final thought right now.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard this rumor because they kind of killed this rumor. Because he was supposed to set up for next WrestleMania, but do you feel like maybe The Rock enter this?
Ah, The Rock. I could see him enter it. I could see him enter it for the simple fact that was a Survivor Series that was all scheduled around The Rock, was it?
Yeah.
And he couldn't do it because of filming and stuff like that and restrictions. So, yeah, I could see The Rock entering in this and winning it. Yeah.
Because that's, like, the only thing that I could think of right now that could sell out that arena, which, you know, I was also fortunate to go to with that WrestleMania and see how humongous and how extraordinary it is. Like, you're going to have 100,000 plus people for two nights, hopefully. And if that's the case, you need stellar main events to kind of really do something. And the only thing that I could think of is The Rock selling out one, if not both of those nights. And I wouldn't even let people know who's gonna night. Exactly.
Yeah. For cutting you off, I can see him selling out both nights if you don't let people know what night he's gonna wrestle. I think The Rock is probably gonna show up, bro. Yeah, great mind, bro. Great.
That's the safest bet. I know they were really banking on next year 2023 for LA, and by all means they probably could still do that if The Rock really wanted to, you know, have a cap in his career and maybe, I don't know, just have one more run going into like one more Mania as his last Mania. I could see that, telling that story for 1 year like they did with Cena. That would be okay. You don't have to have him wrestle. You don't have to have him really do promos every week. Just show him training, know that this is like the biggest thing for him, his last final match, and let it be in Hollywood.
Yeah, bro, you're absolutely correct, because that was one of my favorite rivalries, him and Cena. They kept that going for the WrestleManias, man. And it'll be phenomenal because he's jacked as shit right now for the Black Adam. Yep. So, like, yeah, I think that would be great, man. Honestly.
Oof, 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 oof. Well, guys, that's all we got for the Rumble Talk right now. Hopefully everyone did enjoy it. If you guys want to follow us, EWA Podcast on Twitter, EWA Podcast on Instagram, and EWA Podcast on the Facebook as well, too. Elite Wrestling Audio is on all podcast platforms, going from Spotify to iHeartRadio to Pandora, Apple Podcasts, and more. Jay, if people want to talk to you and just maybe talk about your rants and maybe be like, oh, AJ was great, but we loved, I don't know, Bully Ray coming in the year before that as Bubba Ray, where can people find you?
Y'all can find me at my Instagram _weed15. Y'all can find me there. My Twitter name, because I barely use Twitter because Twitter's so fucking toxic. I think it's at Neon Dreams. Yes. SZ? I don't know. Sound like that, bro. I barely use my Twitter, man. Like, let me check that out right now. Sorry. We're live, pal.
We're live.
Yeah, let me check my joint real quick. Oh, no, it's the same. @_weed15. Yeah, but I barely use my Twitter. So Instagram is the best way to reach me. You know, you can slide up in my DMs.
Mm-hmm. You know? Instagram this man.
Mm-hmm. You know, for the ladies out there, if y'all feeling frisky, let's go.
The dude dropping you.
Come give me a hug. But yeah, so
that's where I'm at. If people want to hit you up, brother, where can people find you at?
Oh, you can find me on the Twitter at LuchaValCisco, and more on the Instagram at LuchaValCisco as well, too.
And the TikTok.
For the TikToks. For the Kaylee Rays out there, that's what I need. This is a strong, heavy accent girl. Be like, I can't even do her accent. I was gonna botch that whole thing.
Her joint is hard and heavy. I can't even begin, bro.
That's the type of accent that gets Drew McIntyre stiff. Like, oh, Nessie.
Nessie. You're about to tussle with Nessie.
Her joint is hard. Her shit is harder than Becky's, than Nikki.
Fucking hard as hell.
Bro, yeah, I'm sorry for that.
No, you're right. That's what I'm telling you. Ooh, you're giving me a Nessie.
Yes, you're giving me a Nessie in my pants, baby. You think you're ready to tussle it?
Let me show you what the Scottish psychopath is all about, Kelly. Kelly Ray.
Low-key,
bring the bat.
Yo, that's a joint, right? I was gonna say a cricket bat or a putter, bro. It's a bat. There you go. It's a Jose Canseco bat.
I'm done. Okay. Yeah, but where can people find you, bro?
Yeah, all those things. Lucha Val Cisco Twitter, Lucha Val Cisco Instagram. Yeah. Yeah, Kaylee Ray, hit me up. This is a skinny accent. It could be bad things. Fuck you. I'll be okay with it.
Bro, you see, I don't do that, but legit, I would be tempted for what do you call them videos?
Well, cameos?
Cameos? Yeah, I would be tempted for a Kaylee Ray cameo video, bro. Or just, bro, record my voicemail. Like, you know, like.
Do it to Jeremy. Send it to Jeremy. Oi. They probably don't even say oi. Oh, fucked up over here.
They probably don't.
Listen, lad.
Listen, laddie. Oh,
did you eat your haggis today? It's culturally fucked up. Sorry, everyone. Anyway,
no, that Irish is haggis, right?
Maybe. Yes.
Taking
that to the grave. Oh, Jeremy, I heard you like the business.
I heard you like the gift. Yeah, Irish haggis. Yeah. Oh, no. It is a national dish of Scotland.
Scotland!
Let's go. Scotland.
Mr. Sanchez, can you be my Braveheart? Can you be my William Wallace? I'll paint your cock blue. Guys.
Your boss is big as haggis. I'm done. I'm out.
Guys, have a great night. Take care. Follow, like, listen, whatever you need to do. Later. Take care.